Like the little book that we just published called The Thunders, there's war in heaven. War is beginning to take place in heaven. I said today that it's an unusual thing that God should hold the publication of this book up until right at the moment that the planets begin to line up. But the alignment of the planets coming forth, right at this time we published the book called The Thunders, War in Heaven. What does that mean? It means Lucifer being cast out, Revelation 12. Let's just talk a few minutes about some of these things and see if God will smile on us tonight. Can I take my time and just talk with you a few minutes tonight? You know, minister, he has a problem trying to just talk. He winds up hollering. He starts off kind of quiet and calm, but he always winds up hollering at you, you know. He gets excited. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher, and he starts off teaching, and sometimes he preaches. But anyway, reading in Revelation 10, we've read this a number of times. First of all, I'd like to ask this question. In the light of what some of you have seen or some of you have known, how do you feel? Do you feel that something unusual is taking place? If you do, raise your hand. Something unusual is taking place. Very unusual. Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 10. Now let's read this together, can we? And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, if you'll notice, I remind you again that it is in Revelation 8 that he opens the last seal. The seventh seal is open in Revelation 8, and then the bottomless pit comes open. But when the seventh seal is open, the seven trumpeteers make ready to sound. These seven trumpeteers get ready to sound, and as they sound, if you'll notice, one great calamity after another begins to strike the earth. A great thing begins to happen. One thing happens and then another. The bottomless pit is open. The locusts begin to cover the earth. But when it comes down to the last trumpeter, there are three that begins to sound toward the end. And the Bible refers to these three out of the seven as being the three woes. And it calls them woe. The three woes that is to bring about sorrow and heartaches to mankind. In between the second and third woe are the sixth and seventh angel. There is a divine intervention, and that intervention is referred to as the angel of Revelation 10. This angel comes forth, he has a great rainbow about his head. He is an unusual angel. He does an unusual thing. It is his purpose to declare that time will be no more. So he sets one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Six trumpeters have sounded. There's only one left. Two of the woes have passed and only one is left. And then the divine intervention. That great divine intervention comes. Revelation 10 and 7 says, and in the days of the voice, and all of a sudden, here one foot is on the land, one foot is on the sea, and a hand is raised to heaven. And the Bible says that he swears by him that liveth forever and ever, that time shall be no more. Now, in the teaching that we brought forth in the last year or so, we have tried our very best to detail what time is. How that time came into existence. What time is. You know, you've got to understand what the angel is talking about. How did time get started? Where did time come from? What do you mean when you speak of time? What does time consist of? What is the angel saying when he says that time shall be no more? And we've tried to detail the origin of time and tried to explain what has happened during the transition of time and what is to happen in the end at the consummation when time comes to its terminal point. So then the angel declares that time shall be no more. That is, as we use the term sometimes to express it, that you can do away with your clocks, you can do away with your calendars, your almanacs, anything that is a time marker, you can do away with it. Because there will be no continuance of time. Eternity begins and time comes to its end. The angel says time shall be no more. Here as we see this great thing happening, it is the divine intervention coming in between the second and the third woe are the sixth and the seventh angel. And what is said of the seventh angel? The Bible said, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. We go back to this again now. In the original rendering, it says the secret of God. In the days of the sounding, the secret shall be made known. When we speak of the mystery, we say, what is the mystery? What does God mean, the mystery? What is the angel speaking of the mystery? See, the original rendering is secret. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Paul refers to the things of the Old Testament as being typical, symbolic. He called them allegories. Or he said these are types and these are shadows. Therefore he that abideth within the realms of the shadows or the types, the allegoric things, if you can get the spirit of revelation, Paul said, to come to understand the shadows. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty, he dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. For the Bible said God veils himself in darkness. So when we see this wonderful thing, we see that God is speaking of revealing a secret. making known a secret. What is a mystery? It is something that is concealed. It is something that is not made known. What is a revelation? Why does John call it revelation? Because it is a mystery that is unveiled. Now look at it for just a moment. When the angel declares that there is going to be some thunders, John gets his pen, as we would say, and he gets ready to write. And though he's written many things, a voice said, "See that you do it not, John." Now, you've wrote some things, and these are going to be recorded. You're going to call this the book of Revelation. But John, these things are not going to be written. Now, they will be contained within the scriptures. They will be concealed within the word. But they will not be written, in that Satan is not going to have an advantage to know these things before the time of the revelation. So then, see that you write it not, John. But he said, in the days of the voice, then the mysteries of God, or the mystery of God, should be finished. So when the angel comes, Revelation 10:7 says he shall come. It says he shall sound. It says in the day that he sounds, it shall be the finishing. And then immediately in Revelation 15:11-15, it says, and the seventh angel sounded. And the seventh angel sounded. And the Bible says immediately there was war in heaven. In the days of the voice, John, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. 11:15, and the angel sounded, and the Bible said there was war in heaven. There was a sounding. Look at the similarity of these things now, of our day. The Bible said, and the angel sounded. 11:15, and the angel sounded. The same angel that the Bible said was to sound, the Bible said he sounded. But look at the hour in which he sounded. 11:15 records that it had to be the end of the world. You say, Brother Pike, when will that angel sound? How do you know when he's going to sound? It had to be the end of the world when he sounded. How do you know this? Because 11:15 said that when he sounded, a voice cried out from heaven saying, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. That proves it had to be the end of the world when he sounded. When he sounded, the voice declared that the kingdoms of this world, not the kingdom of God, because we already have the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches that ever since the day of Calvary, the kingdom of God has been here. The law and the prophets until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. But it didn't say the kingdom of God that's within you. It says the kingdoms of this world, the great empire of this world, the great things of this world. It declared that at the voice, the sounding, the last trumpet, that God would take over the world. And immediately, when Revelation 11:15 brings the sounding of the last trumpet, the Bible says there was war in heaven. In following chapter 11, we look, and chapter 12 tells us that there is the woman standing with her foot on the moon. Now, isn't that some similarity? here right at this very hour when the shuttle is flying around up there, when the spacemen are flying up there, when God said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars from thence, I shall cast thee down to hell, right at this very moment, when they set the little thing they call the nest among the stars, sitting it down on the moon, right at this very time, America being a woman emphasizing the footprints on the moon, John looks away and he said, I saw a woman standing on the moon. Isn't that beautiful? Right in the end of the world. How could we deny what Revelation is saying? But the Bible said the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will show you the things that are to come. And here the great Spirit of God is showing John these wonderful things. So then as John beholds them, and he looked, and there was a woman with her foot upon the moon. There she stood with her foot upon the moon. And what was it? There was a crown of stars upon her head. The very same thing that America had when she established her nations. When she come in here and become a great nation and established her little confederacy of those stars that she placed around. There it was. There was the stars and there was the stripes that symbolized those stripes upon the back of Jesus. There was Calvary lifted up between heaven and earth, and we referred to it as glory, old glory they called it. And there we referred to this nation as the new world, coming into the new world. And there it was lifted up between heaven and earth. So we see a beautiful thing. The woman with her feet upon the moon. All of a sudden, there it is. And he said, the kingdoms of this world, they become the kingdoms of our God. For the last trump sounded. What was it? He said there was war in heaven. The woman with her feet upon the moon. And there was war in heaven. War in heaven. Thunders and lightnings. There was war. Why? Because Revelation 10 says, and it thundered, and seven thunders uttered their voices, and said, John, don't write it. For when the angel speaks in 11:15, he'll tell it, or that is to say, it will be made known at that hour. For in the days of the voice, see the connection? We say the trumpeteers, Revelation 8, and the trumpeteers begin to sound. And the last trumpeter sounded. He sounded. Was it then a trumpet? It was a trumpet. But what kind of trumpet? It was a voice. Because the Bible said to lift up your voice like a trumpet. And here he is, the last trumpeter, the third woe, the seventh angel, the seventh trumpeter. But the Bible said in the days of the voice. It didn't say in the days of the trumpet. It said in the days of the voice. And yet he went forth to sound a trumpet. So in the days of the voice, the Bible said. What was it? The seven thunders. The Bible said the thunders was the voice. For the seven thunders uttered their voices. And he was about to write. So in the days of the voice, that is to say, the mystery of God being finished. What is the seven thunders, someone would say? What is this thing called a thunder? How can you define a thunder? What would you call a thunder? The Bible referred to it as the voice, but it also referred to it as a mystery. Said in the days of the voice, the mystery should be finished. That is, the seven thunders uttered their voices, but said, don't you write. For in the days of the voice, the mystery should be finished. Which means that the thunders had to be a mystery in reference according to the Bible. It was a mystery. We know that it was a concealed thing. But it was not just something that came forth in a vocal utterance. It was a mystery, a concealed mystery Because the Bible says in the days of the voice, the mystery would be made known. And so then, what is a mystery? It is a concealed thing. What is a revelation? It is an unveiled mystery. So the voice sounded, and the Bible said there was war in heaven. You know, when you see the lightning, when you see the thundering, and you see all of this conglomeration taking place, you know that there is war in heaven. Why is there thundering? Why is there lightning? It's because the hot air and the cold air begins to come together. It's because darkness and light don't have any relationship and don't have any fellowship. And all of a sudden, these particles begin to come together. These things begin to come together. Folks, this is the problem of the hour right now. The world is trying to mix darkness with light. It'll never go that way. God will never let the church mix with darkness. It cannot be. They're trying to take the things of the world that belongs to Esau and belongs to the flesh. They're trying to take games and all kind of programs and bring it into the church. God doesn't want programs in the church. He doesn't want games in the church. He wants people to be spiritual. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I can't. He said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you might understand these great things and comprehending the heights and the depths and the widths, the lengths of this wonderful thing Jesus called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul referred to it as the revelation of Jesus Christ. John, the first chapter, the first verse, refers to it as the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, when we think about this thing that's taking place, Revelation 11:15, and he sounded. When did he sound? When the woman had her foot on the moon. That's when he sounded. For John said, I looked, and the woman had her feet upon the moon. And she was in great travail, trying to bring forth a man-child. And the Bible said, there lay the red dragon. Look at the race between communistic power. That Chinese dragon of communistic power. Look at that dragon laying right in there around that woman. Look at the thing that happened when Jimmy Carter was in there. They referred to him as JC, Jesus Christ. Look, when America was trying to bring forth the leader, that communistic power, that killer, that murderer came over here, laying in there to devour the child. Just as quick as that child was born, that communistic leader is laying in there to get that child. To devour that child. That communist power was trying its best to turn our nation into a communist power and devour a leader and turn our leader into a communist leader. That red dragon is laying in there, Lucifer. What is it? It's that old blood life laying in the church. Here the child is caught up to the throne. The mind of Christ Jesus. This wonderful child is being born. The church is heavy with child, bringing forth a child. This child being caught up to the throne. What is it? It's that child that God is trying to indoctrinate with the mind of the revelation of Christ Jesus. He's born to give that child that God understanding that will bring forth peace in the earth. God is trying to give us a nation of peace and love and understanding. But the red dragon, what is he? That old blood life of programs and games, that old intellectual scholar fresh out of college that's laying in there that don't know nothing about the Spirit, never met God, never understood the revelation of God, never has been called of God. I'm not against anybody studying. Paul taught in a school. Go to college. Brother Taylor's been to college. Got number of men. Brother John finished college. Got number of college men. Great men. But they still love Jesus. Paul said, I count all my learning as dung to have this great Spirit of God. But there it is, those intellectual ones that don't know anything about the great Spirit of God, don't know anything about eternal life. And they're laying in there, and just as quick as that child is born, just as quick as there's the move of the Spirit in the church, somebody says, let us start a football game. Let us get us a basketball team. And that red dragon, that old blood life, that old program is laying right in there to pervert the mind and take it away from the things of God and away from the Spirit of God and bring in that old tree of knowledge and start some kind of intellectual, physical display to where it, Paul said, they can glory in your flesh. When he spoke of that thing concerning circumcision, said they want to do that so they can glory in the flesh. But my dear beloved brother and sister, what we need is Christ in the Spirit. The quickening of the Holy Ghost. This child God is speaking of is caught up to the throne. He's caught up here in the heavenlies. There's war. War in heaven. When he's caught up there, there is a battle. There's a war that's going on. What is that for? He's caught up there because God has something that he's trying to do. The Bible said he'll rule with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. He won't compromise. He's not a compromising fella. He isn't going to compromise. He believes in the Word of God. He believes in that one and only way, Christ's way. There he is, caught up to rule the mind of Christ, the Word of the Spirit. That red dragon is laying in there. What is it? The hot and the cold coming together. Coming together. It's coming together. God said, I would that you were hot or cold. I would that you go on to your games and your frolics and leave me alone. Stay away from the church. And I'll be merciful to you. Leave my people alone. Nebuchadnezzar, don't go over there. Belshazzar, don't go over there. Don't you mess with the vessels of the church. Don't go to messing with the church. Leave it, separation of church and state. Leave them alone. When you start drinking out of my vessels, them holy vessels, I'll tear your kingdom down, Jesus said. You leave my vessels alone. They're dedicated to me. And you that touch them will touch the apple of my eye. And so then, we see this thing coming to pass. What is it? Hot and cold coming together. I would that you were cold and go your way. Or I would that you were hot, burning with the fervency of Almighty God. But because you mix it all up together, because you make it lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It'll be a war in heaven. Folks, let me tell you, a son and daughter of God is not going to mix with the corruption of this world. They're not going to do it. They may hold their peace and they may set back a long time. But after a while, they're going to rise up and take the sword. The Bible said, cursed is every man that holdeth back that sword from blood. They are men and women of war. And they'll hold back so long. And they'll go so far. But after a while, when you try to force them to compromise their conviction and they feel that darkness creeping in and they feel like they're being defiled and they feel like God is separating from them, they'll rise up with that sword and they'll wage war against you. Glory to God, they'll rise up. The Bible said, and the saints of God shall rise up. You believe it? There the devil shall oppress the saints of God and wear the saints of God out. And then they shall rise up and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. I tell you, it's a rising up moment. Did you know that? It's a rising up moment. God's people are ready to rise up and take the kingdoms of this world. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I believe that we're going to take the kingdom of God. Brother, we've already got the kingdom of God. But the Bible said they shall rise and take the kingdoms of this world. And the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God. And God will usher in that great millennium. And we will reign with him forever and forever. So then the woman had her foot on the moon. And that trumpeter got ready to sound. What was it? There was war in heaven. Brother, look at those thunders. Those planets lining up. The first of the year they start, the middle of the year they continue, on to the end of the year. And finally in the end of this year, the final alignment. What is war in heaven? It means that Israel is on the move. Israel is beginning to move. Israel is heaven. God calls Israel the Holy Land. Israel is heaven. In your spiritual aspect or perspectives of revelation, look at it. That's heaven over there. When war starts in Israel, that means there's war in the church. When that thing starts rolling, it means war in the Holy Land. It means war up there among the galaxies. It means war in the church as that hot and cold begins to come together. Israel is on the move. Something is happening. There's war in heaven. What is it? People are being shook up. There is something taking place. Look at the way that Reagan has done since he got up yonder in the White House. There's been a war up there. There's been problems up there. He's been fined one here and fined one there. Everything has been in a turmoil. Look at that down yonder at the Argentina. Argentina thing there. Something is happening. War. War. The cry of war. Things are beginning to take place. Why is God letting there be war? Lightning. The murmuring of thunder. Somebody says, I don't like that. And somebody says, I don't like that. And somebody says, that ain't right. And somebody says, we're not going to have it that way. And somebody says, let's do it this way. And the mumbling and the rumbling, the thunders begin to take place. And then come those sharp, flashy, cutting words. They begin to come. Flashy, sharp thunderbolts, as we say. Those cutting words. Lightning, what is it? Lucifer getting ready to go out. War in heaven. Those thunderheads hitting head on. They're coming together. The thunders begin to roll. They begin to roll and those cutting words begin to come. And the Bible said through the sword of his mouth with the word of God, Jesus comes and destroys his enemy. And then there comes those sharp thunders and the sharp words, and Jesus said, I beheld Lucifer's lightning fall from heaven. The thundering, what is it? Those reflectors, them people that's been in every revival year after year, all they've ever done is reflect what other people have. They've never lived holy, they've never lived for God, they've never done anything for God. All they've ever been is troublemakers. God's getting ready to excommunicate them and put them out. And the Bible said in that day, the trees of God shall be so few that even a little child shall be able to number them. But they that are left in Zion shall be called holy, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. For God is the Holy Spirit, and God is the Spirit of holiness, the Bible says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God is not a denomination. God is not some kind of movement. God is the Spirit of holiness. And without holiness, no man's going to see God. How can you see God when he is the Spirit of holiness? How can you see him without holiness? How can you say that you're holy when you don't have the fruits of holiness? How can you say that you have eternal life when you don't have the fruits of holiness? Having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. Oh, my brother and sister, God is looking for a holy people, a godly people. I made the statement recently. I want to make it again. Ever since the fall of Adam from the garden, God has been pursuing. He has been after you. He said, you've not sought me, but I've sought you. And God has been pursuing. And he's been saying to me, Brother Pike, and he's been saying to you, brother, sister, or daughter, son, let me have your spirit. Let me have your spirit. Let me seal your spirit with my spirit before Lucifer, the fallen angel, who is also a spirit, before he gets to your spirit, before he contaminates your spirit, before he takes possession of your spirit, and him that he has cut off in darkness, you yourself will be cut off in darkness. If you give your spirit to him, he will defile your spirit, and I'll have to destroy your temple. But let me have your spirit, commit your spirit into my hands, and let me seal your spirit that you may have holiness and eternal life, and that you'll never be able to sin, you'll never be able to be contaminated, and Lucifer will never be able to break that seal as I seal your spirit with the Holy Spirit. God is pursuing us. He is trying to help us. The woman stood with her feet upon the moon. But also that intellectual power, that old tree of knowledge was there too. That old red dragon of that blood life was still there with all of their programs and plans. And Lucifer living in that old carnal mind was still there. Still waiting. Brother, there's war in heaven. Those planets are lining up. Lucifer's getting ready to go out. Every nation under heaven is going to gather themselves together against Israel. There is not one nation under heaven but what they'll gather together against Israel. The Bible said in that day that all nations will be gathered together against Israel. Every nation is going to get so aggravated with Israel till they are going to gather themselves in against Israel. Every one of them will do it. The Bible said in that day God will call them to that. God will cause Jacob to pass through the fire, and God will cause Jacob to be punished for his wrongs. But then God will bring Jacob out. In Revelation 19, as we join forces together, the blood will run up to the horse's bridle as God destroys the armies of this world with the sword of his mouth. That great mighty one with that vesture dipped in blood, and the armies of heaven shall follow him. So then we see Revelation 11:15, and he sounded. What is the sounding? For the last trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. What is the last trump? The trump of God. What is the trump of God? There is but one trump of God, even God's own voice. For every man has a trump. And the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. But there comes a day when it's not a man's voice. And the Bible said, it shall not be you speaking, but Christ speaking from within you. That is the trump of God, the revelation of Christ itself. The Bible said, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him to meet him in the air, so shall they ever be with the Lord. It is a true fact that with this very day, Sinai being given over to the Egyptians, remember this, that going over to the Egyptians indicates that Israel is no longer under the penalty of the blood. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. It has been upon Israel and upon their children. And they've been killed all down through the dark ages. They've suffered. But now here comes the hour when the Egyptians get Mount Sinai. And we know that civilization rises up from Egypt. We know that it comes from Egypt, which means all of the world is considered Egyptians. Because that's where civilization comes from. That if Mount Sinai goes over to the Egyptians, or if it goes over to the bond's child, then Israel represents the free child in the earth to that extent. We know that that's going to bring war and bring problems. And we know that the Bible said if you've fallen from grace, then you are under the law. That if Mount Sinai comes, and if Israel gives it up, then that is going back to the peace treaty. That's going back to what cost Sadat his life. That's going back to Jimmy Carter or JC, which is that Calvary thing that we spoke on. And that's going back to the fact that America is no longer under grace. and the blood is no longer on the seat of atonement. That if you're under the law, you've fallen from grace. And if God brings back the law, it is letting us know that the Jews are free from the law. And that God once again can look in the direction of Israel. And God can no longer count them as being to blame for the death of his son. And we as a Gentile people that have lived lusciously, then we as a Gentile people have to pay, whereas Israel has paid before. As I brought out in the message this morning, brothers and sisters, the Gentiles are fixing to pay. And Israel is fixing to be freed. And the Gentiles is fixing to go through the tribulation. Why? Because God is beginning to lift his wrath from the Jew and beginning to turn back to Israel, saying, see the nail prints? See the nail prints? And the Bible said, a nation shall mourn and a nation shall be born to God in one day. See this woman? See this woman, the church, the Protestant world? See her with her feet upon the moon? See the Christ child, the real Christian, being caught up to the throne immediately with the kingdom of God within us, translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And then see Israel, which shows the woman in the natural. There in Revelation 12, the middle of the week, Israel, we see the woman going into the wilderness when the blood comes off the seat of atonement. We see the child going up to the third heaven, for the woman was in the second heaven. Lucifer, being in the second heaven, could not get into the third heaven. So the child went up into that third mind of God, that third move of God. That is to say, there is a natural move of God that went to Israel. There has been a physical display of the things of God, of intellectual power and understanding, of religion that has come to this natural world. Of the Gentiles in the Protestant age. But there is a spiritual revelational mind of spiritual things and God things that belongs to the Christian. That mind of Christ, that is that third heaven, that third dimension, that third elevation. And that child going into that third place, the woman, the church world that's still in that second heaven, goes into a wilderness. Because the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. And that evil image of Satan that's been covered with the blood to the extent that grace has been upon all people. And God having poured out his spirit upon all people. All of a sudden the illumination leaves the earth. And that person that could live like the devil and still have the grace of God present won't have it anymore. And that religious hypocrite and parasite that could go into the church and reflect the light of a true son and daughter of God won't be able to be illuminated anymore, because heaven won't be there anymore. They've been excommunicated. They've been cast out of heaven. And as Jesus stood on the mountain and appeared in glory, so as the glory departed momentarily, so will heaven depart. And they'll find themselves not illuminated by grace. But within you is that fountain in the house of David. And within you is that Holy Spirit. And within you is that kingdom of God. And your spirit is within the kingdom of God within you. And there you are, sealed away from the evils of this world. But as we behold these things, knowing that the end of the world is here, Satan will have to personify himself according to Revelation 13 as he comes up out of the waters. Out of the midst of the people, grace will be taken away. He can't dwell in heaven anymore. The woman will go into the wilderness of the tribulation period for 3.5 years. The child will go up to the throne. That natural woman being Israel. That natural catching up of the man child being the 144,000. That will stand upon Mount Zion, Revelation 14. And Jesus, the headship, standing in the midst of them, having sealed them in their forehead with his name. But brethren, at the same time, that Christ standing in the midst of the spiritual sons of God And the spiritual Jew, that man-child that's got up to the throne, up into heaven, standing there, them sealed by the lovely Holy Spirit in the forehead of Christ, that spiritual catching away, that true Jew that Paul spoke of, and that true woman that the Bible speaks of being the true church. When we look at this, we see the beauty of what God is saying to us, and we see this hour as being a tremendous moment in the history of mankind. We see the time of the war in heaven. This great war that's taking place in heaven. Israel is on the move. There is war in Israel. There is the turbulence in Israel. And what happens? All of a sudden, as Brother Taylor read here, the star of hope begins to arise. The star of hope begins to come up in their midst. What is it? The message of the Messiah calling out to Israel. For in that moment, he must start indoctrinating them. He must start wooing them. He must start calling them. He must start turning back to them, getting them ready for that great moment so that he can drop down in the midst of them and stand there as their leader to wage war against the world. War in heaven, turbulence. John said, I saw the cities of the world crumble. The great devastating blows of the elements, in that the wandering stars must fall from heaven, even a third part of them. That is to say, they that must fall from the rims of the church. Hypocrisy, all of it going out. That which is unlike God. God said, I'll bring a third part through the fire, speaking of Jacob. There is something that's taking place. I'll smite a third part of the sun and a third part of the moon. And a third part of this was smitten and a third part of that. God doing something. Why? Because when we say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there was a third part of the Godhead we say was smitten. That was Jesus. Smitten, we esteem him smitten of the Father. There as the light of the Godhead to that extent turned dark. And gross darkness came over the earth as he willingly died and suffered in your behalf. Everything following after its pattern, everything following after its way. God said, so shall it be. And Jesus, being made sin when he knew no sin, was made the typical fall of Lucifer. He could stand back and say that I took sinful flesh to Calvary in your behalf. And I that knew no sin was made sin that you might be made my body. That you might be made my righteousness and bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I died out of the presence of God that you might live in the presence of God. You understand what I'm saying? What a beautiful thing. The Ten Commandments, Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle. And yet they symbolic, having to do with the ten horns and the typical things. They made war with the Lamb, but the Lamb overcome the law and folded it up and laid it away. For the Bible said those ten kings would hate that whore and make war and burn her flesh with fire. And God being a consuming fire and Calvary being that big brazen altar of that evening time sacrifice of that lamb in the behalf of the people, that consummation of fire, of that ever burning fire under the altars of Moses, came down and got that sacrifice and took that sacrifice away with him. And though those Ten Commandments that made war with the Lamb, the Lord was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he mastered them, and he folded them up, and he laid them away. And he become the great conqueror and the master of the law. We see the typical things and the great thing that God did, and yet the flesh of Jesus was bruised, it was beat. No man's countenance was marred like his as God poured out his wrath upon the whore, and yet his son was without spot. And yet God made him sin and poured out his wrath upon him to rid himself of the whore and the evil one as he poured out his wrath upon Jesus to keep it from being poured out upon you that wanted to serve Christ. Oh, my brother, what love that is. And Jesus said, I beheld Lucifer fall from heaven as lightning. I saw him when the Christ took that body and the Christ entered into that body and picked that body up and took that body as a sacrifice and nailed it to Calvary. When he did that, Lucifer didn't have any more power in the flesh, because Lucifer stood off and said, I have never gotten into that body. Not one time ever entered into it. Paul said, within my flesh there is no good thing, but in Jesus' flesh there was no bad thing. Lucifer was cut off from that new body. And when that resurrection come forth, having been delivered for my offenses and then raised again in that new body for my justification, the Bible said, having this tabernacle, putting off this tabernacle, I have another one, even the body of Jesus Christ, eternal in the spirit of the heavens, not made with hands. So then in that body, Lucifer could not live in that body. Jesus said at Calvary, he went out of the body. He went out of the body. I saw him fall from the body because I gave my body that he couldn't live in the body of George Pike. I gave my body that he'd be cast out of the body of George Pike and Frank Taylor and you and every one of you that can hear and every one of you that can see and everyone that's born in the world, born into sin. I gave my body, Jesus said, and Lucifer be cast out of your body that he couldn't dwell in there, that the kingdom of heaven might be within you. I saw him as lightning fall from heaven. And I come up with the body of righteousness, and you're now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and no unclean thing dwells in that body. He's gone out of that body. He cannot dwell there. That raven went out of that ark. Noah turned him loose, and away he went to feed on the dead carrion and the corruption of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that dove returned. That lovely dove at Pentecost returned. Came back as proof of that wonderful tree of life. Plucked that little leaf and come back to show that there was still life, that the justification was there. That body being bruised and made sin, likened to that crow that was let out of that raven. But that dove returning with that new body for my justification. One delivered from my offenses and the other raised for my justification. Coming back from heaven saying there's still life, the wrath is past. The wrath of God is past. There is a new world and there's a new covenant. And God is doing a new thing and you can live forever. Wouldn't you like to live forever? I like that term, living forever. Folks, there's war in heaven. Lucifer is being cast out. Hallelujah. Why? It's the thunders. Revelation 12, Jesus hanging at Calvary, saying, Father, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And John saw him as he rolled and turned, hanging there at Calvary. That was that woman. That woman in travail, that woman with the 12 stars upon her head, the 12 apostolic leaders, the crown of righteousness upon the head of Jesus. That woman, that spear in the side and the travail of bringing forth the church there at Pentecost, hanging between heaven and earth, founded upon the moon, standing on the moon, founded upon the law and the prophets, crowned and the glory of God as the sun shining within his strength, there illuminated with the glory of God. John said just a few short years after Calvary being exiled to that Isle of Patmos, wrote that revelation as he saw the veil rent and saw that woman hanging at Calvary, in that the Bible refers to us as the elect lady and refers to the man as being the woman in the sense of the female. So then there he was at Calvary, bringing forth in travail. But the Bible said that the man child went up. The man-child went up. Isn't that right? Israel went into a wilderness. Isn't that right? Been in the wilderness ever since the church age has begun. But my brother, at the end of the church ages, Revelation 19, she comes out. Isn't that right? When that high priest is dead, the manslayer can't touch her anymore. Down at the end of the Church age is that great rainbow reaching over there from Pentecost, them seven colors of the rainbow, them church age messengers reaching way over here to the end of the form, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Coming way over that door open in heaven, the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, that John saw that key that was given to Peter over there. Beginning over here, here it comes way over here, and that door is open. That child being caught up to the throne, having translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The law and the prophets till John, since that time the kingdom has been preached and men have pressed their way into this great kingdom. That child went in and that woman went into the wilderness. Isn't that right? God doing a new thing. But what happened to Lucifer? The Bible said, I saw him fall from heaven. I saw him fall from heaven. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth as we saw him go through the dark age and spill the blood as he set himself up in the papacy of Rome and of the powers of evil, as we seen him set himself up and kill the martyrs and trample upon them, and he's been doing it ever since. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. But I'm glad that you and I are not in the earth. The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven, for ye are not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until that great millennium and the restoring of all things. And brothers, believe it or not, it's at hand. It's at hand. Over here, something is taking place. The planet alignment. What is it? It's just the comprehending of that which has taken place. Oh, it's so beautiful. We'd like to say a whole lot more. But what more can you say? Jesus is everything. We sing that song, he's wonderful. The half has never yet been told. But you know what? When you get the Holy Spirit, you got it. You got it. You got the whole. Isn't that right? For the Bible said we are complete in him. I want you to stand with me. There's a lot of other things we'd like to say tonight. Since you've been patient to listen, we'll just stop off. The thunders, what is it? It's the mystery. What is the mystery? The revealing. The mystery of the things that God reserved just for the church and to himself here at the last moment. Isn't that right? What is God doing that for? This is something that's got to be intimate between his precious bride and him. He's going to write it on paper. He's going to convey it to us through the Spirit at the sounding of the last trump. What is it? It's that wonderful mystery that is being finished of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I say again, how can he be the hope of glory in me? Because the Bible teaches Christ alone is made heir to the glory of God. If I'm to have any part of that glory that Jesus appeared with on the Mount of Transfiguration or appeared within, I must have him. For he is heir to that glory. He's my only hope to that glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have Christ? If you have not his Spirit, the Bible said you're none of mine. So then tonight, we stand here as people. Where are we? Not in the earth. We are in heaven. The man-child was caught up to heaven, to the throne. You're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Nicodemus, can't you understand spiritual things? No man has ascended up into heaven, Nicodemus, except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven, and Nicodemus, who is in heaven. And all Nicodemus couldn't understand how he could look at Jesus and Jesus still be in heaven. He couldn't understand spiritual things. What a beautiful moment. What a beautiful moment. Be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Being changed from glory to glory, from light to light, faith to faith. How beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that publishing peace, they publish the peace, or that's publishing peace, telling you there's a risen Savior. Let's sing a little chorus together. Wonderful, wonderful my Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, he's my prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Is Jesus wonderful to you tonight? Oh, he's so wonderful. Jesus is so wonderful. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, the thief said. The other one said, if thou be the Son of God. But oh Lord, remember me. Hallelujah, remember me. Let's sing this little chorus together. We'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, can we? I'm gonna enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter these courts with praise. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. For Jesus made me glad. For Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. For Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter these courts with praise. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Savior made me glad. My Savior made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Savior made me glad. Oh, my Savior made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made. One more time. Going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter these courts with praise. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Don't you love Jesus tonight? How wonderful it is to be a Christian. How great. How great it is to know that he loves you and that he loves me and that he cares for you. You know, there's a real, genuine friend that loves you and that cares for you. Jesus loves you and Jesus cares for you. Isn't that right? He loves you. He cares for you. When no one else cares, Jesus cares. Folks, if you've not made everything right with God, now's the time. Don't wait until another day. Don't wait until another hour. A lot of times I ask you to come to the altar for the simple reason that I don't want to take any chance of you having anything in your heart. People let little things creep into their heart. A lot of times I ask you to come to the altars because I don't want anything to happen to you. I want you to be sure that if any little thing that's happened through the day, you know that you get it out of your heart. Don't take any chance. It may be too late tomorrow. The Bible teaches that you're not to let the sun go down on your wrath. Let him that sins sin no more. Don't let sin have dominion over your body. You're saints of God. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that ye should obey the lust thereof. God loves you, and he wants to do something for you. The time is drawing nigh, real close now. The Lord will be coming after his saints. So much has already happened, and you just don't understand. Some of you are beginning to understand. But you want to be ready in the hour that you think not. Remember, 3.5 years, something has to take place. 3.5 years before the Antichrist really magnifies himself. So you need to be alert. Things is happening. Things is taking place. You're looking wrong. You're looking in the wrong direction. A lot of times it's because you don't understand. Therefore, you'll be caught unprepared, perishing from the lack of knowledge. Let's sing this little chorus. I looked over Jordan. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? It's coming to carry me home. It was the band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. String low, oh, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. String low, oh, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Sing it again now. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. We're going to sing this little chorus. While we're singing this little chorus, we're going to give you a chance tonight to make things right with Jesus. If you haven't made things right with Jesus, if you haven't made that commitment, we're going to give you that chance tonight. Let's sing this little chorus, sweep over my soul, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep,
out over the wild stormy deep. But in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven. While we're singing now, I want you to come to the altar tonight. I want you to gather around the altar. I want you to lift your hands up to God tonight. And I want you to ask God to prepare your heart. If there's anything that you've not committed to His trust, anything that you've not told Him, anything that you've not done, then tonight's the time to do it. The end of the world is coming, beloved friend. Night is soon to be upon us. Gross darkness shall cover the people. Gross darkness shall cover the people. It's coming. And unless you're ready and unless you're prepared, then that means that you're not going to make it. Let me beseech you tonight. If you've not given your heart to God, if you're lost and undone without Jesus, if you've not made the commitment to Christ, then tonight, let me beseech you by the mercies of God to make the commitment. If you're not doing anything for God, if you don't have a vision for Christ, then let me beseech you tonight. Get a vision for Jesus. If you're not really going on doing anything for the Lord, don't wait too late. Tomorrow may be too late. Don't wait too late. Give God a chance at your life. Give God a chance to help you, to open up your mind and your heart. Get a vision. The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. Get a vision. Get a vision to do something for Jesus. Get a vision. Ask God to come into your heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Oh, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it with me, will you? Come into my heart. Oh, come in. Do you really want Jesus to come into your heart? Are you just singing that, or do you really want that tonight? Folks, let Jesus into your heart. Tell Him tonight as you sing that. Really mean it from your heart. Shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. While there's time, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Invite Him into your heart tonight. Can you do that? Really mean it tonight. Lord Jesus. Sing it again now. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Now then, as we just quietly bow our heads together and lift our hands, I feel Jesus here, don't you? I feel His presence.
Oh, Ramando Ramashando Rabasaya. Oh, Ramando Rabashira Variando Ramando Rabasaya.
Hallelujah. I feel your lovely presence, sweet Jesus. Sweet loving Holy Ghost. Sweet wonderful dove of heaven. I feel your loving presence. Oh, Ramanda Ramashandoria Rabo Shandoramataya. Andoraba Shandoria Rabo Sandoramanaya. Undalabala Sialamo Shandoramandarabasai. Holy sweet Father. Holy sweet Father. Jesus. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. I feel your presence. Look down from heaven tonight. Lord, save tonight. Forgive tonight. Heal tonight, Jesus. If there be anyone that's lost, save them. If there be anyone that needs healing, heal them, Jesus. Father, be with them tonight. Let the lovely word of the living God be in their hearts. Lord, fill their hearts with your word and with your spirit. Let your name be upon their lips. Let them live clean and holy. Father, to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Oh, Heavenly Father, knowing that our righteousness is of God and our perfection is of Christ, yet, Lord, let us do all we can to please you. Lord God, to walk perfect before you, to be holy in your presence, that you might use us as a sanctified vessel, that we might be a greater light and a greater testimony. Oh God, as we go to and fro in the earth, use your people tonight. Use your people tonight. Stretch out your hand of healing, Father. Stretch out your hand of deliverance, Father. Stretch out your hand of deliverance, Father, and deliver tonight. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way in our heart. Have your way in our lives. Let our lives be filled up and overflowing with your majesty and with your righteousness. May there not be a heart turned away tonight, beloved Father, but what is filled with your glory and your magnificence. Lord, we love you tonight. We love you tonight. We praise you tonight for your wonderful love, your wonderful spirit. Have your way tonight. Bind us together in the unit and union of love as we see the day approaching, Father. May there not be anyone missing at that great, wonderful gathering. Father, everyone that's under the sound of my voice, may it be so, beloved Father, that they can be purged and healed and purified and saved, that they won't be missing at that great homecoming day. May they all be there, mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, friends and neighbors. May they all be there, my Father. God, what a great reunion hour that will be. What a wonderful time that will be. Be with us. Help us to evangelize the world, Father, to the best of our ability. Oh, God, as we go into all the world with the gospel to every creature, in world evangelism, help us, Jesus. Give us strength, Lord, in the Spirit. Give us faith and courage in the Spirit. Give us brotherly love and brotherly kindness in the Spirit to love one another. Oh, my Father, may it be. May love have the preeminence of our life, and may charity be the bond of perfectness that fills our life. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, my Father. Hallelujah. Grant it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you feel His presence tonight? Don't you feel His love tonight? I feel Jesus in such a wonderful way. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love Him, can you? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Isn't that right? One of His commandments was love one another. Oh, I love Him. I love Him. all because He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing it again now. I love Him. Don't you love Him? I love Him. All because He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Hallelujah. While you're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Clayton to come and dismiss us tonight. Ask him to come and pray a closing prayer tonight for your body, for your spirit, for your mind. That God would bless you, that God would be with you, and God would help you. I appreciate you tonight. I appreciate our visitors. We're getting ready for our tent crusades, our overseas work. We need your help. We need your blessings. We need your strength. We need you to work with us. Stand behind us. Everything is getting ready. We want you to be a part of it. We want to be a part of it. Let's all labor together that we might share in this wonderful thing for Jesus. As our brother Clayton comes tonight, let's reverence the Lord. Let's give Him a chance tonight to pray with us and give Him a chance to bless us in the Spirit.